What's your Everest? You know, the highest mountain on earth, a metaphor for a goal that is so big that it scares you to even speak it out loud. That goal that takes more than a season, a year, or maybe takes a lifetime to even accomplish. I'm Colleen Rue, the voice of the mountain and your host as we meet inspiring individuals who know what it's like to set big goals and how to accomplish them. Welcome to My Everest, a 29029 podcast. If you've listened or followed this podcast before, you know we talk a lot about the why. Why do we climb? Why do we choose to voluntarily put ourselves in a position to struggle in order to climb the vertical feet of Mount Everest? Every single participant who presses that red registration button on our 29029 website is there for a different reason. We have participants show up with perfect clarity as to what they are seeking to find and accomplish through their 29029 experience. Others seem to find their way as they train over 20 weeks. Sometimes the realization of why develops as the 36-hour clock begins to count down on that Friday morning. We see these whys all over the mountain. They are written on the back of t-shirts, pinned to hydration packs. They're carried in pockets and opened from envelopes. We've seen them written on arms and tucked tightly into hearts. 29029 isn't about climbing a mountain over and over again. 29029 is all about why you are choosing to climb a mountain. Mike Parnell had a why. He was going to climb 29,029 vertical feet at Stratton Mountain in Vermont, October 2021. And he was going to do it in the name of his young daughter, Ryan.
I know what I'm going to do. It just like popped in my head. I'm going to sign up for 29029. I'm going to do it as a fundraiser for the only foundation that supported my daughter's rare autoimmune disease, which is called the CureJM Foundation.
Though he raised over $100,000 in Ryan's honor, Mike didn't really find out why he was on the mountain until after he left.
But I always like had this in my head of like, this is like, I won't say life or death, but like critical that I show up for this.
A chance meeting and an offhanded comment at the awards dinner would propel Mike through a door he could only have hoped existed.
You're not going to meet a Tim Coleman watching Netflix on your couch. People that are looking to do exceptional things are out there doing other exceptional things.
29029 for Mike Parnell was going to be so much more than an exercise in awareness and fundraising. 29029 was going to be the beginning of an ascent to a cure.
JM, juvenile myositis, is like a super rare autoimmune disease. Only 2 to 3 in every million kids get diagnosed with this every year. So you're talking like in the hundreds of children in the population in the US that have it. So it's an ultra rare disease. And it basically, the immune system attacks itself in the muscle tissue and skin tissue of your legs and arms. So, you know, when you flare, you could have anything from just a rash to like you literally can't walk up the stairs. She got really weak over like a 2-week period when we first got her diagnosed. And fortunately, we got her diagnosed like right away. A lot of kids go a long time without getting diagnosed and it gets much worse. It actually could be life-threatening if it's not caught in a certain amount of time. So fortunately, she was caught very quick and was on medication and being treated very quickly. So we kind of nipped that early, but you know, it's scary. It's flared on her twice over the past 5 years. So it's like a year long road of starting over with heavy doses of steroids and getting bloated and mood swings and whatnot until you kind of get it under control and then wean off those heavy steroids. And we've done that twice over the past 2 years. So like the past 2 years, we're literally starting at the bottom of the mountain and climbing back up again.
When was she originally diagnosed? How old was she?
She was a week before she was 3 years old. So that was, she's 8 and a half now. So that was 2017.
Okay. So she had
September 2017.
So you guys had been dealing with that as a family for a few years. And then this opportunity came about to climb at 29 out of 29 and turn it into a way to get some shine some light on this rare disease.
In September of 2019, I heard Jesse speak at an event. I had always liked hiking as a kid, so I think that had a little something to do with it, but it just really like drew me in. And so when I left that event, I downloaded Jesse's Living with a Seal book and started jogging. I'd never jogged before. And I was determined to sign up for 29 out of 29. So I'm like, let me start running. The following weekend, I signed up for my first 5K, maybe ever. I might have done one 20 years prior. And halfway through that 5K, I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. It just like popped in my head. I'm going to sign up for 29 out of 29. I'm going to do it as a fundraiser for, at the time, the only foundation that supported my daughter's rare autoimmune disease, which is called the CureJM Foundation. So there's so many good parallels to the event from, you know, my daughter's disease, where like it's just so physically taxing. And I kind of thought it would be a great way to honor exactly her struggle from a physical standpoint, and how to just, you got to keep pushing through. You know, my initial goal was to raise $29,029. Early on, someone challenged me that you need to up it. Like you can hit $29,000. I know you can. Like you got to really push for a big goal. It's a big event and it's meaningful. So I changed that to $100,000, which at the time I had no clue how I'd ever get to that number. That's a lot of small donations, but I committed to it. I'll say, fortunately, the pandemic hit and delayed us for a year. And by the end of that, you know, 2 year period of fundraising, I actually raised $106,000 during that process. So I was super proud of that. And I'd say 50,000 of it came in like the last couple of months from, you know, right before and right after the event. So it was a massive success from that standpoint.
When you think of fundraising something, I mean, $29,000 in and of itself, like you said, is a lot, but then $100,000. I mean, I think of that and I'm like, I don't know who I would go to. Who stepped up? Where did you find all these funds? Like, how was that fundraising that kind of money?
The increase in the goal made me look at it differently. Like $29,000, you can chip away in small donations and eventually get there, especially over 2 years. But $100,000, that's 50 times, I don't know what, a lot, a couple thousand, I guess. I had to look at it differently and start, you know, figure out how to hit big chunks. So I held a couple events. I organized a youth charity wrestling tournament that had like over 500 kids registered, and we raised $16,000 from that one event. And I started doing these donations when the CureJM Foundation was doing their big annual fundraisers, and there were corporate or large family matches at the time. So if I raised $10,000 or $15,000, that was $20,000 to $30,000 in those events. And I just kept chipping away, you know, month after month. And the other big part of it was a commitment on me and my wife's standpoint. We own a custom home building business in New Jersey, and I decided to put my money where my mouth was and donate 10% of the profit from each project that we build to that cause as well. So once I started doing all those things together, each of those projects were, you know, donating $7,000 to $10,000 each. And then we really started getting some traction, and we got, you know, blew right past our large goal.
Your why is so tangible because Ryan's there. You're her parents. You know, you guys are seeing her and how this disease affects her and the community who, you know, the JM community. You're seeing this, and that must be such a powerful reason to keep going. Whether it's fundraising or whether you're on the mountain, I'm sure you had to lean on a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, our whole family took a big hit when she got sick, and it took years to work our way through that. So I dedicated each lap to someone. You know, the early ones were to friends of mine that were fighting cancer. The middle ones were to different families and kids that we've met with JM along the way. that were either, you know, friends with or inspired my daughter in one way or another. And then I saved the last three ascents. The last two were my daughter, to make sure that there was no way I would quit before I got there. The two before that were for my wife, because we've both been through a lot. And my son were the last two before that, because a sibling, you know, a young sibling, takes a lot of stress and anxiety as well through that. I had that idea of dedicating each of those laps early on in training, and just, you know, visualizing each lap and getting there and getting to the end. And I was so anchored into the event and had so much meaning behind it that, like, I knew there was no way going into it that I'd have any chance of not finishing.
And you were really willing to share your why. I remember knowing about Ryan and hearing her story. And I think that is such a part of when we are vulnerable, when we're doing something like this, when we're putting ourselves out there and we have this why, in order to share it, because in sharing it, it does open up for other people to help support us as well.
I've said before, like, the people you meet on that mountain are like the best versions of humanity. There's not a single jerk on that mountain that's putting themselves through 36 hours of self-imposed torture. I really got to know probably 10 to 12 people that I didn't know going into that event. We just seemed to be on the same cadence, and we'd be on, you know, on laps together at some point. And those are like the 10 or 12 people that I really got to know. And I would say 9 to 10 of them I talked to on a regular basis through social media and texting and whatnot. And the others I still keep in touch with as well. So that was a really cool takeaway. And that was one of the, you know, pieces of advice I got going into it. Take advantage of the time that you have on the mountain with people. Like, I always run with headphones on, but that day and a half, I didn't put them on at all. I just talked with people, and, you know, you never know who you meet in those environments.
I was poking around on your Ascent to a Cure website, and I saw a picture of Bree Hagen, who was on the mountain with us. So tell me about how she got connected from being on the mountain with you.
Bree did Utah a few months before. Actually, it was probably like 6 months before, maybe. I did not know Bree at the time, but I was following a few people through the 29029 social media groups or whatever. And she had posted, you know, I'm looking for inspiration for my, however many laps, 13 laps or whatever Utah was. If you know anybody that you can share with me and what their story is, what they're going through, I'd love to take them with me on the mountain. So I told her about Ryan, and sent her some pictures. And she's like, oh my God, thanks so much. You know, I'm dedicating, let's say, the eighth lap to her. And she actually ended up sending her a stuffed elephant, which Ryan appropriately named Ellie and sleeps with all the time. You know, we connected through the event, even though we were on separate events. And she ended up raising some money for us. I think well over $1,000 as part of our fundraiser. So she was like kind of like a virtual teammate for our fundraising event. And then later on, she actually joined our board for the Ascent to a Cure Foundation, which we later founded in the year following event in Vermont.
It's just so amazing that before you even got to your mountain, by sharing Ryan's story, and because what you were going to do already connected other people into this story. And I did not know about that connection with Bree. And it is just always shocking to me how this mountain does that. And like you said, these people on this mountain are the best versions of themselves that they possibly can show up to be.
Jesse, in our starting line speech, he said, to do exceptional things, you have to put yourself in exceptional situations. But I've listened to that speech thousands of times. And it's so true. Like, putting yourself out there and putting yourself on the mountain or in events like this, you're around people that just are trying to excel and give back and you know, make an impact out there. And they're so willing to help. So willing to help. Like, I never met Bree in person. And literally, to this day, actually, I've never met Bree in person. And I've known her for almost 2 years, and she's put in hundreds of hours as a volunteer to get our foundation off the ground. It's incredible, the people on the mountain and the people at these events and what they're willing to do. One of the people I met is Tim Coleman. We were on the eighth lap. Now, to rewind of how we got there, like, we both signed up for this event in 2019 to do it in 2020.
Well, and Tim had done the event in 2017 and 18, and then was participating in 21.
Yeah, I don't know if he finished the second one. I know he didn't finish. I think he said he had to go back for unfinished business. So I don't know if he finished either of them, which is kind of funny given the stuff that he's done. But yeah, so we both signed up 2 years prior. We both, you know, somehow avoided injuries or other outside commitments, family commitments to stay and enter the event, you know, in 2021. We both stayed healthy through the pandemic. And I trained more than I've ever trained in my life to be at my absolute best. And Tim was hobbled with a knee brace on with torn knee ligaments. And somehow, you know, out of 235 people, we end up on the same pace for several laps together. And the first of those laps was the eighth. We just got to talking and I explained, you know, everybody and most of the people on the mountain saw the 29 of 29 stories and me sharing, you know, my why of what I was up there for. And Tim was asking me, you know, a little bit about my daughter and stuff. And I explained all that. And then I think we did 8 and 9 together. And then later on the next day, we shared some pickle juice at an aid station and bonded further at the awards dinner. Another participant, Amy Tucker from Salty Britches, who I knew virtually as well. We were having dinner and she said, "Hey, did you guys meet Tim Coleman?" I said, "Yeah, actually, we did a couple of hikes together." And she goes, "Did you know that he owns a pharmaceutical research company?" I'm like, "No, that's crazy. That never came up." And that was it. You know, it's just this random, you know, another just random.
Because Amy
occurrence.
Just thought it was interesting that he owned a pharmaceutical research company.
Yeah. Yeah. And she had hiked with him as well. And we're talking about that because she had a prior background in the pharmaceutical industry. So I had connected with Tim on social media a few days later when we were home. And a couple of days after that, he DM'd me and he said, Hey, Mike, I'd like to get on a call with you. If you don't mind, I'd like to see how I can help out with your daughter. I own a pharmaceutical research business. And I have a special interest in pediatric rare diseases. I'd like to see if there's any way, you know, any advice or any way I could help out with your daughter.
I mean, Mike, did you ever in your wildest dreams imagine that committing to 36 miserable hours sometimes at Vermont because it was very rainy and things like that would ever have put you in a position like this?
You know, obviously not. I mean, it's the most serendipitous story I've ever heard in my life, but there was always this like extra commitment that I had during training that like I just kept thinking like how important it was for me to be prepared for this event and like how much meaning it had behind it. So I don't think I really understood why. And obviously in hindsight, this is why, because if I had trained less and wasn't on the pace that I was on, like we would have never met. The mention of Tim Coleman would have meant absolutely nothing. But I always like had this in my head of like, this is like, I won't say life or death, but like critical that I show up for this.
It just felt bigger than climbing a mountain for 36 hours to you.
Yeah. And bigger than the fundraiser and bigger than just the red hat and the personal achievement. It just felt like very, very important that I get this done.
When you told me this story originally, I thought about Tim and I remember him finishing that year because he got his red hat that year, finishing as Austin Powers. He wanted to dress up as Austin Powers to finish and he had his knee brace on. And Tim's just a character in and of himself. I had no idea that he was part of the pharmaceutical world and the research world like that. And so for it all to come around into that why that you had with Ryan, the reason why you were on that mountain it just says how powerful these experiences can be. As Jesse teaches us, do something exceptional because something exceptional will come from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're not going to meet a Tim Coleman watching Netflix on your couch. People that are looking to do exceptional things are out there doing other exceptional things. Not everybody's going to try to cure a pediatric disease by doing a marathon, but you could meet a great friend, or you could meet a good business partner, or what have you. So it can be life-changing in many ways. Also for your personal confidence on this path that we're on to try to cure Ryan's disease, like there's going to be ups and downs. It's not going to be a linear path. You're going to have days where you feel like you're on top of the world and this is going easy. And then you're going to have other days where like, this is impossible. Like, how are we going to ever do this? The training physically and mentally that goes into an event like 29 prepares you for those ups and downs outside of the mountain and, you know, in life in general.
There you have it. My Everest, the latest episode of the 29029 podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about 29029 events or read more stories from an incredible community of individuals, you can head over to 29029everesting.com. That's 29029everesting.com. I'm Colleen Rue, the voice of the mountain. Keep climbing. We'll meet you at the next summit.